Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Let's talk to our good friend, Tom Korski, editor of Black Box Reporter at Minding Ottawa on X/Twitter. Tom, Premier Mo was having fun with that. And I said to him a little bit later, he kept going, you know, he just wanted to pursue that. That little bit of an edgy response to Mr. Trudeau and just a little humor involved. And I said to him, you know what happens when people are angry at you, then there's an issue to be resolved. Then you have to fight. Then you have to, as Jean Chrétien once said, put up your duke. but when people laugh at you, it's over.
That tax strike put the Feds in a real box, Roy. There's no business, no two ways about that, which is what Saskatchewan has done. And it's the only tax strike I know of its kind, since Alberta did that with the GST in 1991. Now, Alberta went on to lose in the Supreme Court, but everyone forgets the rest of the story, which is what was that not a single progressive conservative MP was ever elected in Alberta again, and it destroyed the federal party. That it's not too soon to say that about Mulroney's legacy since he's passed away. Tax strikes are a big deal, and the reaction of the feds and cabinet in particular, Minister Wilkinson, his reaction was priceless. Yeah, they don't like this. It makes them very nervous.
Yeah, and again, when people laugh at you, it's over. It's just over. You know, if somebody's in your face and somebody's challenging you, that's one thing. Then you can turn around and say, okay, let's go, whichever way you prefer. But if they're laughing at you, they've just taken away your armor.
Ridicule is hurtful. It is.
It is. Absolutely is. There's no visor down opportunity after
that. No, there's not.
They're just laughing at you. It becomes Monty Python. Okay, so what's up on the Blacklox Reporter? Here's the headline. 26% of contracts fail audit. And then there, in the middle of the photograph, is our very photogenic federal foreign minister. What's going on, Tom?
This is really interesting. And I'll tell you why, and I'll keep it short. Minister Joly's Department of Foreign Affairs, internal auditors, so these are their own employees, decided to take a look at contracting with consultants. It so happens all departments have internal auditors. In our experience, the Department of Foreign Affairs has one of the best teams. I don't know why. Most of the teams are quite useless. But they're a pretty crackerjack unit, and they were hearing all these stories. They say this right in the audit. They were hearing all these stories about monkey business involving contractors with consultants. And they said, well, what's going on right here in our own department? They started counting them up. And how? In 5 years, 8,000 contracts with consultants. This is foreign affairs, Roy. These people are not performing life-saving surgery. They're not keeping the skies safe. Half of these people show up for work wearing a bow tie. 8,000 consulting service contracts totaling more than $500 million in 5 years. 26% selected at random for investigation, failed the audits. And these were not minor failures, Roy. One of them involved a direct benefit to the federal manager who approved the contract. That's called conflict of interest. There were other cases where the paperwork simply vanished, or afterwards, the contracts were signed after payment had been made or services agreed to on a handshake deal. Anyone who works for the federal government, has done any business with the federal government. If you've ever submitted a passport form, you know they'll tell you, oh, that photograph missed it by 18 millimeters.
That's happened to me.
It's happened to everyone. They are buried in minutiae unless you have the secret handshake. And then it's Aladdin's lamp, and the money just flows. $567 million.
You know, I just have this strange feeling that there's a lot more to come as far as federal government accounting is concerned and what's happened to our collective money over the last 9 years once this government is out. If the new government has the stomach to really pursue it.
I agree with you. We've always thought, you know, we're focused on money. People say it's not about the money. We've never said that. It's all about the money for us. I've always thought if there was ever a judicial inquiry into pandemic contracting, someone's gone to jail. I'm sorry to say it that raw. I believe that. I'm with you 100%. If you happen to have some diligent auditors in one Department of Foreign Affairs who start opening filing cabinets and say, my sweet Lord, 26% irregularities selected at random, and that's looking at a fraction, a tiny fraction, less than 1% of the contracts, I'm with you. That means everybody got the message, and it came from the top. And the message was, anything goes. And a lot of people made a lot of money, Roy.
And then we had the situation of SNC-Lavalin and Jody Wilson-Raybould being fired as the Justice Minister and Solicitor General because she wouldn't play ball with Mr. Trudeau and go for a deferred agreement with federal prosecutors that pushed them to come up with that. And what did we find out a couple of days ago? Some of the senior managers at what used to be SNC-Lavalin are now going to be guests of the king with their clothing issued, but windows not properly opening. And there's so much going on, Tom, that you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. There's a lot. That's just really, really wrong.
But you know, Roy, for the rest of us, as you just put it, the message, the moral of that story was that there was, let's not exaggerate for the sake of effect, that there were corrupt practices. They literally rewrote the criminal code for that Quebec engineering company.
Yes, they did.
And when it didn't work out, they pled it out in Quebec Provincial Court, got levied a $240 million fine for fraud. There's been bribery, illegal election campaign contributions, you name it. The message that the federal managers got was a different message. And the message was, there's a lot of money on the table. And so if it's SNC-Lavalin, or it's ArriveCan, or we start going through some of the contracts they're going through in Commons Committee on Government Operations, you see the same pattern over and over, Roy. If you have the secret handshake, something can happen nice for you. And if you don't have the secret handshake, we're going to make you submit your passport form in triplicate. So how do you like those apples?
Which leads me to the story that you have on Blacklock's reporter. Won't detail subsidy per job. Federal subsidies for the electrical vehicle industry. Now up to $52.5 billion. Triple the $16 billion annual GDP of the entire Canadian auto industry. And yet, Mr. Trudeau, you write, will still not say how much his cabinet is willing to pay per job in the sector. But he says there'll be lots of them. and just go away and leave me alone now. That's what he's
huge subsidies. It is. The problem is these are the guys who couldn't run the passport office. Let's be candid. And so when they talk about redesigning, you know, the Minister of Finance talks about she's and her buddies are managing a new industrial revolution. And when you can't run the passport office, that makes everybody nervous. So they're spending billions, mammoth corporate welfare, on these electric vehicles that the vast majority of drivers, 96, 95%, have no interest in. And that's even with rebates. How much is $52.5 billion? That's a budget office figure, by the way. That's twice what we spend on national defense. For Teslas, for electric car batteries, that's twice our national defense budget. As you mentioned, Roy, three times the entire economic output of the entire Canadian auto industry annually. That's huge money. And the payoff is, trust me, but remember, these are the guys who lost the files at the passport office and had the lineups to the point where they had to call police. Everyone gets kind of nervous. Ironically, Cabinet has never been more joyful when it comes to, you will not get a flicker of doubt. It doesn't matter what MPs come up with. They'll say, don't you realize you're taking taxpayer subsidies and giving jobs to Koreans down at Stellantis in Windsor, Ontario? They don't care.
So Mr. Trudeau first deferred the carbon tax on heating oil in Atlantic Canada for 3 years. And then along came the budget. And then along with the budget came this huge hike in capital gains taxes. And the doctors started saying, no, actually, we have an interview scheduled tomorrow with the president-elect of the CMA on this issue. And yet, Tom, I don't know if this interview is going to be relevant any longer because the capital gains tax increase has been deferred for a whole 2 months. And you're right about that.
Highly suspicious. Says the budget officer testifying in committee. He called it surprising. And why was it surprising? It's exactly what you just said. Now, a very significant change. But the 10 weeks heads up. Why would you do that? And the budget officer, Mr. Giroux, you know him well,
yep,
said, well, whether this was by design or not, it only has one effect. And that's to drive tax receipts for the federal treasury over the next 10 weeks, as everyone who may be thinking heading into retirement, planning the sale of a business or equity other than the principal residence, says, well, I have to beat that June 25 deadline. We better get rid of this now so we pay the lower tax rate. So they are forecasting, the Treasury's forecasting, billions in a tax windfall because of that line item in the budget. Why does that matter? It's election time, and their deficit targets are such a mess, Roy. On one occasion, on budget day, if you look back on what the Department of Finance had projected in some of its deficit tables from only a year ago, they missed one of their targets, 94%. So you're just making it up now. Going into an election, need to get those tax receipts up. If medical doctors, if dentists, if people with cottages or small business don't like it, that's too bad. They need to get those numbers up. Why does this make people nervous? That's a hell of a way to run finances for a G7 country. Whatever your opinion is on capital gains and the minority, admitted minority of people that are affected by it, this is a life-changing moment for them. That's lifetime equity that's taxed at a higher inclusion rate now, much higher. And this was done because the cabinet thought it was a neat idea to get our tax revenues up so we can spend more money going into a campaign. That's great.
It's spectacular. So I brought up the issue of Jagmeet Singh with Premier Moe at the beginning of the program today. And I said that Mr. Singh had accused Mr. Trudeau of being divisive and creating divisions in Canada, particularly through the carbon tax. Premier Moe said, well, hold on, I'm paraphrasing, maybe Mr. Singh should listen to what Canadians want, which is an election.
No.
Now, no. Canadians want an election. And you clearly point out, no, on Black Lux Reporter, Mr. Singh does not want an election. And honestly, given the political fortunes and headwinds he's facing, I understand why he doesn't.
Most definitely not, sir. We are not trying to plan for an election, he told reporters. We're trying to make sure we do everything we can to make a good decision for Canadians around the budget, quote, end of quote. I'm quoting him accurately. What about the benefit of having an election now? Asked a reporter. No, he said. That's not something we're hoping for. There's a problem. They have a problem. Part of it is logistical, and part of it is, frankly, of their own creation and is fantastical. He's lost a quarter of his caucus to retirement or resignation going into the 6 of 24 New Democrat MPs, not running again. That's a problem. The weird part, this is the weird juxtaposition, is the supply and confidence agreement he has with Cabinet that is supposed to run till 2025. Cabinet's already reneged on it. Everyone in Ottawa pretends like that didn't happen. It's like an episode of Dallas. Was it a dream, or did that really happen? The supply and confidence agreement, Roy, it was a very simple term. You had to pass a PharmaCare bill last Christmas. They didn't even introduce a bill. Cabinet reneged on the terms. And Mr. Singh is so desperate to avoid an election now. I think I'm being fair. He is so desperate to avoid an election, no election, that he's pretending that agreement is still in place and the cabinet didn't renege on it. It's frankly weird.
It just wants me to do something. And that one thing I can do is do this, which featured the president, new president of Argentina, at the World Economic Forum.
And long live freedom, damn it.
So there you go. Now, that always makes me feel better, Tom.
That's the main thing, Roy.
Yeah, I think so. We have 60 seconds. Can you talk to us, please, about my favorite cabinet minister who really rose and shone in 2020 during the rail strike? Mark Miller, who says Canada's an open country.
Wide open.
Wide open.
Mark, wide open, he said, to immigrants. He said this to a U.S. radio audience in NPR. Raised in Montreal, married in Montreal, lived in Montreal. Let no one say that's not a malforming experience. Miller said, you know, illegal immigration, no problem in Canada. And you know why? He said, I'm quoting, we have an ocean to the left of us, an ocean to the right, a nuclear superpower to the south, and a block of ice to the north. So geographically, it's quite difficult to reach.
Okay.
Canada.
All right. All right. Tom, thank you. As always, right. You're priceless. Thank you, Tom.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.